Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy heard every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight's show is going to be a little different. I know I promised a half an hour of Bill Cosby to you tonight, and it is a promise that I will keep. However, I'm not able to keep it tonight because something very special has come up. Those of you who are regular listeners to the program are aware of the campaign that I'm spearheading to try to save Buffalo Bill, a wonderful television program, very unusual television program that has been canceled by NBC. And I've been trying to get people to write letters, and I'm still trying to get people, please write me a letter to Grant Tinker and Brandon Tartikoff at NBC and tell them what you thought about Buffalo Bill and how you'd want it picked up. At any rate, I have run into the producer of Buffalo Bill, who's not only the producer, but he wrote a lot of them and directed a lot of them, and he'll be here to talk to us about Buffalo Bill and about a lot of other things, the state of television and the believability of ratings and things like that, and we'll get to that. However, just to satisfy the Bill Cosby fans, here is one of his very classic routines, and then we'll be back to meet Dennis Klein.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He was making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. It's vuba, 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 vuba. Noah. Somebody call? Vuba, vuba, vuba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where I am? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood. Build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? How you gonna do it? Gonna make it rain for 1,000 days and drown them right out. Right. Listen, do this, you'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up. Right. Of course, Noah had a heck of a job, really. He had to go out and collect all of the animals in the world by twos, two mosquitoes, male or female. And he had to keep telling the rabbits, only two, only two, only two. So We find Noah pulling up the last two animals, two hippos, and he's really in a hurry to get them up because he's afraid that the Lord's going to call him and ask him to do something else, and his nerves are shot. This is one heck of a job for a man 600 years old. So we find him pulling up the last two hippos, and of course the Lord does call him there.
Come on, fat hippos, hurry up. Come on, will you please? Noah.
What?
What do you want?
Gotta take one of those hippos out and bring in another one.
What for?
Because you got two males down there and you need to bring in a female.
I'm not bringing nothing in. You change one of them.
Come on, you know I don't work like that.
Well, I'm sick and tired. I've had enough of this stuff. I've been working all day, working on for days and days. I'm sick and tired of this.
Noah?
Yeah?
How long can you tread water?
Yeah, well, I got news for you. I'm sick and tired of this whole mess. The whole neighborhood's out there laughing at me. You're all having a grand time at good old Noah there. I went out and got my best friend, Larry. I said, Larry, listen, I've been talking with the Lord. Larry said, oh, really? I said, yeah, yeah, listen. Lord, Larry, Larry, Lord, you walked off there laughing. I hear them all up there laughing at me. You know I'm the only guy in this neighborhood with an ark? People around there laughing, picket signs, walking up and down. I'm sick and tired of this stuff here. People are walking around there, how you doing, Tarzan? How's everything up there? Sick and tired of this mess here. You're supposed to know all and see all. You let me go out there and bring in a pregnant elephant. You give me no manual for delivery and nothing. Never told me the thing was pregnant. There's good old Noah waiting underneath the elephant there. Broom, right on top of the elephant. All that stuff for you running around and you're supposed to know all and see all. Like I said before, you let me go out there and do all this stuff here. You never even looked in the bottom of that ark. Have you looked down there? No. Who's gonna clean up that mess down there? That's me. I'll tell you that. I've had enough of this stuff. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm letting all these animals out, and then I'm gonna burn down this ark, and I'm going to Florida somewhere because you haven't done nothing. I'm sick and tired of all this mess. You're fooling around and you haven't done nothing except as you got it raining. It's not a shower, is it? Okay, Lord, me and you, right? Because I knew all the time everything was up there.
Well, that was Bill Cosby, isn't it? And as I said, we will have an entire show, and more than one entire show, dedicated to Bill Cosby. But as I said, we're very lucky to have Dennis Klein in the studio. In addition to being the producer of Buffalo Bill, he wrote most of the episodes and a lot of the really wonderful ones, and directed a lot of them, and has a career that goes back in television a long time. Tell me, how did Buffalo Bill differ from other shows that you'd worked on?
Well, let's see. It was canceled. That's one way it was the same as other shows I've worked on. I guess people didn't have to check their brains at the door to watch it. You know, most of the other things I worked on were a little more manufactured, a little more crafted towards actually getting higher ratings, which they did, in fact. So what we proved is if you don't try to please the lowest common denominator, you will succeed in not pleasing the lowest common denominator.
Will there be any summer reruns of the ones we've seen, or
oh, I guess that's always a possibility, but I'm not counting on it.
Are we going to be spending Thursday nights with Night Court, or in Night Court?
I think, Thursday nights is going to have to be a bill-less night forevermore. And unless, of course, you know, unless this campaign catches the kind of Jesse Jackson kind of fire that seems to be sweeping the country. No, that's the wrong guy.
Well, Buffalo Bill, as we know, has been canceled, or actually has been failed to be picked up, right? It no, nobody pulled the plug on anything. It just sort of wasn't there on the list that was issued, right?
Right, right.
Did you find out about that before the list was released, or was it just that the list was released and you saw that it wasn't there?
Oh, I think I found out the day before, just accidentally, because I called the office to ask about something else, and somebody said, are you calling because the show got canceled, or whatever the word is? And I said, no, but I guess that's what I'm finding out here.
You expected that, though.
Yeah, that was not unexpected, right. Our ratings weren't good, and we got canceled. That's the rules of the game.
Do you believe the ratings? Do you think the ratings are valid?
I think they're. They're valid. I don't think they reflect anything except that they are the agreed upon set of rules that everybody uses to set what advertisers pay and what shows get renewed or canceled, and it's just it's sort of an arbitrary but solid way of nailing down what a show is doing other than just using your own I don't know what else they would use to judge things, whether it feels good to Grant Tinker to keep a show on or cancel it. That's even more arbitrary than ratings. I mean, I'm not nuts about ratings, but I don't think they reflect anything except what people...
What those 1,200 people watch.
They don't even reflect what the 1,200 people watch, because who knows what they're watching. They reflect what the entire network television system wants to use as their barometer of what gets put on the air or not, and what their jobs are about, and it's very accurate for that. Shows that get low ratings get canceled, and shows that get a high rating get renewed.
Are you bitter about this?
Not at all. Do I seem bitter?
No. I would be. Because I think Buffalo Bill seemed to be a show that a lot of people put their hearts and souls into.
Yeah.
And really cared about, and to see it booted about like this, I would be very bitter.
Well, I think
that's
it's
why I'm in non-commercial radio.
Right, there you go. You're not going to get canceled, although I did see some people in the hall that looked at you kind of funny. I am unhappy about it. I put enormous amount of my time and energy into the show, and we all went into it knowing that if we agreeing to put the show together to please ourselves and not to try to please anybody else, ratings or audience, and not try to figure out what people are going to like. So we knew going in that we were all surprised that it got renewed for a second 13. We knew that we were taking the chance and the probability that the show wasn't going to go beyond that. So that's maybe one of the reasons I'm not bitter. And also there are 26 episodes that exist of something that I think is real funny and very interesting television. I do wish it had gone on longer.
Is there any future that you know of for Buffalo Bill? Is there any talk about it either being picked up by independent stations or cable or any of the things that happened to, such as Paper Chase or Fame or Too Close for Comfort or Taxi, for instance?
No, I don't think so. Not that I've heard of anyway. Maybe you heard something, Bob?
Letters make a difference in things like this?
Maybe one of the reasons I'm not bitter is because you're so bitter about it. So you're kind of taking up all the bitterness slack here, and it gives me a chance to do what I like to do best, which is be sadistic and tell you that you're never going
never
to see
gonna
Buffalo.
Never going to see it again.
What did you ask me?
Do letters make a difference in television?
Yes.
Are they paid attention to?
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. And have there been... Do you know of other letters other than the ones coming in from our listeners?
I've heard that there are letters coming into NBC, and a few have been sent to me, protesting my act of canceling the show. I misunderstood what my function was, I know there have been some letters sent to NBC, but who knows how many, and who knows what's done with the people who sent them once in the NBC squads go out and do their terrorist work.
Well, the letters saved Star Trek for a season, and the letters saved Cagney and Lacey.
Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of letters could do something about Buffalo Bill. I think if there's enough of an outpouring of letters, people are going to take notice, because letters do have an impact. So seriously, it's not...
Are they read or just counted?
They're read. I know, because I I hear about them from people, from executives. You know, they say, or they send me a Xerox of a letter and say, look at this, what this person says, and I agree with her, you know. So they are, they're read and counted. And also I think that no matter what happens to Buffalo Bill, it would be nice for the network to have a sense that people are out there wanting to see this kind of stuff.
Do you think that if there were some sort of miracle that saw the possibility of the production of more Buffalo Bills, do you think the same cast and crew would be around? Would be
yes. Oh yes, the crew. The I don't know about
you'd be delighted to jump right in and get back to work.
Sure, I'd like to work on the show some more, and I know that the whole cast is is dying to put their characters back on the air.
Wonderful cast.
They loved their characters and they loved each other doing it. Yeah, it was great.
How rare is that in television?
Extremely rare. It's very close to the only time that it's ever happened in my experience that people have been as gentle and generous as actors to each other and that the characters have been so uniformly terrific. It was just that's another reason why if I'm not bitter it's because it was a dream job for me. It was I just had the greatest time with those people and the greatest time going to work. And your listeners don't know me to be the bitter man that I am in general. Usually other ways of describing my work situations are what gets uttered from these lips, but in this case I really did, because I'm not one of those showbiz types to say, oh yes, we all loved each other, the cast and the crew, and it was a big party. But in this one case it was like that. I think the Buffalo Bill character was the lightning rod for a lot of people's anger and hostility, and he was sort of, he was doing it for everybody, and he was such a mean character that everybody felt that there was some sort of cathartic experience.
Well, I was going to get to that. I think you referred to the show as experimental. The only way, other than the occasional surreal elements, that I saw the show as experimental was, it seems as though the standard formula for the standard sitcom is the central, sane, identifiable character in the middle that everyone can relate to, and then have that character surrounded by zanies and loonies, and let everyone, in identifying with the central character, be observing the loonies through the central character's eyes. And that seemed to be reversed in Buffalo Bill, whereas the central character was the loony.
Yeah.
And he was surrounded by very sane, very relatable, absolutely darling people. Was that a conscious attempt? Was that... In other words, is that how the show was put together? Did someone see that formula and say, what would happen if we reversed it?
No.
Or was that just a coincidence?
I don't think anybody... other things I liked about the show was nobody was trying to, was trying to do that, change formulas around and do work in reference to other TV shows. We're just trying to put together stuff that we thought was funny and related to life. So... I hope we succeeded at that. But what came first was the idea of having Bill be such a totally, completely reprehensible guy, just an awful guy that was to be hated and pitied. And so once we did that, then the other characters had to be just so the show wouldn't be black on black. The other characters we found were more interesting. The nicer they are and the sweeter they are, the better the comedy watching them.
There isn't one of those characters that I wouldn't want as a very close friend. They're just utterly delightful people.
Yeah.
I know that when I have just in recently, now that I've started this campaign, in talking to people about the show, when people say, yeah, I saw that and I didn't like it, I say, why didn't you like it? And invariably they say, I didn't like him. Do you think that was in good part responsible for at least why the ratings weren't higher?
Sure, I'm sure of it. I mean, especially from people who watch TV and are used to used to loving their main character. That's what TV is all about. It's a kind of, you know, a gentle person and a star in all these a friend in the central character of these shows. And here we had somebody that the show was built around who you wouldn't want in your living room.
Yeah.
And people didn't. They didn't like that main character. But the purpose of the show was not to please them in that way. It was a character study.
Well, it was fascinating because it dealt with something that I suppose I know it's touched me. I think everyone has known a charismatic jerk. I mean, someone that you know is completely reprehensible and is just utterly worthless, but there's something about them that keeps you near them and keeps you coming back for more. And I felt that successive episodes of Buffalo Bill dealt with each of the different characters and why they kept coming back to Bill for more abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And there were another nice thing about the show was that it was set up in such a way that almost all of the characters really could have walked at any time, and they weren't really all that dependent on Bill. I mean, you set up the fact that Woody was independently wealthy and he didn't need it. You set up the fact that Carl, the station manager, really could probably do much better for both himself career-wise and for the ratings of the station if he got rid of Bill. And I think it was nice to deal with that because that's something that I don't think there'll ever be an answer for. And everyone's answers were different in that.
Right. Well, yeah, I was certainly happiest when we show, there's a saying, I don't know who said this, that the gates of hell are locked from the inside. And I was happiest when the series showed people's needs to be around this guy and to stick with a situation, either because they rationalize it or not that they need the job, like you say, but that they just have talked themselves into staying there. And it's torture to them, and they still stay, because I think that most people that I know, including myself too often, for my taste, find themselves in a lot of situations that they would be much better off out of, and they're hard-pressed to figure out what that's all about. So at its best, I hope that Buffalo Bill kept those people company and made them feel like at least they weren't, an outcast and different from the rest of society.
Do you think more time would have helped Buffalo Bill if you'd stayed on longer? Do you think you would have found your audience and built up your ratings?
No, I don't. I think that I think we had all the people watching that we could expect to have watching of the TV viewers, and. The only hope of getting a higher rating for Buffalo Bill was to have the people watching who don't watch TV, and they'd be the ones that would be more likely to appreciate something that was different from the rest of TV.
And those people that don't watch TV aren't Nielsen families anyway.
Correct, probably. Yeah, that's a good point.
Just to recap, in case people aren't aware of the fact, the show went on in between Cheers and Hill Street Blues, and the ratings seemed to take a bit of a dip in between Cheers and Hill Street Blues.
That's right.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I think that people had to. Sometimes you go to the bathroom and it takes a half an hour, and so that accounts for, I'm sure, some of the dip. Then it's possible that people didn't like Cheers and would turn off the TV set and talk about how much they didn't like Cheers for a while, turn it back on. People did not like the show. I mean, in droves, people hated either the show or the Buffalo Bill character. They were angry, and it was the last thing in the world that they wanted to watch. Usually, people will keep the TV set on just because it's pleasant, and they'll leave it on whether they're watching it or not. But they specifically did not want this show entering their living rooms. There were enough people who did like it, I suppose, but. To get a nice audience. I like the audience that watched it, and that pleased me that a lot of those people were watching.
I mean, it's probably true that more people saw Buffalo Bill on one night than we'll see 42nd
E.T.
Street.
E.T. and 22nd. Then we'll see 42nd Street. There we go. The street or the play.
Oh.
And And it just wasn't enough. There just weren't enough people who loved it.
Then again, that many people would be considered wonderful for Showtime. If Showtime had that many people watching Showtime in one night.
Right.
Or Home Box Office or any number of other services who would be happy to attract that number of people.
Right, right. Or at my funeral. You know, I'd be thrilled.
Not planning that anytime soon, I hope. What else have you got on the burners? What have you been working on since Buffalo Bill folded?
Oh, well, some movie scripts
You ever going to work in TV again?
Sure. I like television. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I don't want to work on something that's stupid, unless it's intentionally stupid.
Because I know that when I told you that my wife
Laverne
is a writer.
Shirley.
My wife, when I told you that my wife is a writer, you said, if she wants to write comedy, she must not want to write for television.
Oh, God, did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Well, that was just me being vicious.
But it's a fairly common...
I don't think television is the home of real comedy right now. Primetime television isn't. But at night, Joan Rivers is on The Tonight Show sometimes, and that's hilarious, I think. And there's a lot of things on the news that's funny, and some unintentionally funny things on all the channels.
And there's always the telethon.
And the telethon, of course, the Jerry Lewis telethon is a constant delight, or an annual delight in any event. But I think the primetime comedy is, not really chock full wall to wall with funny stuff these days. Although my friends who are working in television are doing wonderful work, may I say, that I'm proud of each and every one of them. And if you're listening, you're just doing fabulous. And I love all your work.
Anyway, back to Buffalo Bill.
The future of Buffalo Bill is in serious jeopardy based on being canceled. And so there may be no hope, but if there is any hope of the show having a life beyond this, you, the people of KCRW, must write in. You must write these letters.
I've been told that for every letter I get, it means that there are 850 people out there, or 9, uh-huh, or whatever, that feel the same way, that we're just too lazy to write, or too shy to write, or something like that. And that's
postcard is like 500?
And that's of course, the same... Yeah, it's the same sort of logic that has people believing the Nielsens.
Or believing in God.
For each person out there, for each person with the Nielsen box, they're supposed to represent thousands and thousands of people. So for each letter, I'm sure it's assumed that there are thousands and thousands of people behind it. And
right,
if we can get more of the people than would normally write to write, it will look as though more people really like the show, and they'll give it one more season until the ratings finally kill it for good.
There you go. Yes, that's exactly what will happen. I think that there's a good chance that that if enough letters come in there, that NBC is going to take a real look at that. And
and the address is Bob Claster, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California.
If every woman out there who has turned me down will write a letter, then I think that, you know, really, I'll just make this personal. I'll just personalize it. Every person that thinks that that Bob Claster is a jerk will write in.
Well, I mean, you know, based
so
on
there
that
must
formula,
be people
I must
laughing
have,
at you behind your back. What?
Oh, I'm sure. It must have a good, you know, 1,500, 2,200 people out there, you know, listening to my show every week.
That's right.
And
you're
and
a bigger hit than Buffalo Bill. Maybe they'll put you on after Cheers.
That's right. Thank you for coming all the way down here, Dennis, and helping us in our campaign. Once again, that address is in Bigelow, Bob Claster, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, 90405. And as far as you're concerned, Dennis, I know that, judging from the quality of your work that we've seen before, that whatever medium hosts you,
or large or small,
will benefit by it.
Thank you.
And that we, as the audience, for whatever that is, will benefit from watching it and enjoy it. And I hope, I just wish you a lot of luck. And Hope we see some more episodes of Buffalo Bill, or at least get to see those episodes again. Yeah, I didn't get to tape them the first time.
Right. Well, thanks, Bob, and thanks to everybody in advance for writing in those letters. I know now you'll feel guilty if you don't do it, and I don't want your guilt, but just tell NBC how you feel, or at least how I feel, how Bob feels.
That's right. We should dictate a letter over the radio here.
Thanks a lot. This has been fun for me.
Well, it's been fun for me. I'm glad you could do it. Anyhow, that'll do it for this edition of Funny Stuff. I'll be preempted next week for the grand hoo-ha celebration of the dedication of the new studios. So you've got 2 weeks to write your letter. I promise I will not be going on about this forever. But just, you know, for the next couple of weeks, it's something that it's like activism, you know? It's like political activism. In 2 weeks, we'll have Monty Python. I hope you can join me. I hope you send me the letter to Grant Tinker and Brandon Tartikoff so we can try and do something about the one decent show that was left on television. And until 2 weeks from tonight, have a nice time. And this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.